This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello, this is Natalie Pinchon. I'll be reading summaries of seven articles published on January 9th, 2015. The article topics are vascular disorders, neurosurgical history, neurosurgical decision-making, and neurosurgery residence. The utility of preoperative diffusion tensor imaging in the surgical management of brainstem cavernous malformations. A clinical article by Bruno Flores and colleagues. Resection of brainstem cavernous malformations eliminates the risk of stepwise neurological deterioration, but surgical morbidity is high. Diffusion tensor imaging is a promising technique that may assist in the surgical planning. In this article, the authors conducted a retrospective review to evaluate the utility of preoperative diffusion tensor imaging in the surgical management of brainstem cavernomas. 11 patients who underwent gross total resection of a brainstem cavernoma between 2007 and 2012 were analyzed. Five major fiber tracts were evaluated preoperatively using the diffusion tensor imaging protocol. Functional outcomes were measured using a modified Rankin score. The mean age at presentation was 49 years. The majority of the lesions were located in the pons. The mean cavernoma volume was 1.93 centimeters cubed. Cranial neuropathies were the most common presenting symptom. 9 patients had involvement of 2 or more major fiber tracts. After a mean follow-up of 32 months, all patients had excellent or good outcome. Preoperative DTI did not correlate with long-term functional outcome. However, DTI was important in the selection of a surgical approach or a specific brainstem entry zone. The authors concluded that preoperative DTI may influence the surgical decision-making for deep-seated brainstem cavernous malformations without pile presentation. Julius Caesar Arantius, Giulio Cesare Aranzi, 1530-1589, and the hippocampus of the human brain. History behind the discovery. A historical vignette by Shamul Beer and co-authors. The hippocampus is an integral part of the human brain and belongs to the limbic system. This structure plays essential roles in the consolidation of information related to memory and spatial navigation. In the 16th century, Julius Caesar Arantius was one of the pioneer anatomists who discovered the different anatomical structures of the human body. His critical contributions to neuroanatomy came in 1587 when he coined the term hippocampus in his book titled De Humano Fitu Liber. Arantius adopted the term hippocampus from the Greek word for seahorse, hippos meaning horse, and campos meaning sea monster. Seahorses are very common in the Mediterranean, and contemporary descriptions of different creatures, including the seahorse, in various books of ichthyology and the paintings from Giuseppe Archimboldo's water series, might have influenced Arantius to name this brain structure the hippocampus. This term, coined by Arantius, was soon to be christened by later scholars as horse caterpillar, steed of Neptune, dolphin, white silkworm, Ammon's horn, and ram's horn. However, the term hippocampus has become the most widely used in the literature. Arantius also demonstrated the fourth ventricle of the human brain. He should be highly credited and honored in the field of neuroanatomy for his contribution in the anatomical discovery of the hippocampus. Fatal rupture of a brain arteriovenous malformation flow-related aneurysm, during microcatheter removal, a rare complication. A case report by Joseph Gabrielli and co-workers. The authors report a rare complication in a case of frontal brain arteriovenous malformation embolization, the rupture of a small 2.5 mm proximal internal carotid artery aneurysm during microcatheter removal. This rupture led to a fatal massive subarachnoid hemorrhage. The mechanism suggested by the authors to explain such a complication is a stress, such as torsion flexion, on the internal carotid artery caused by the microcatheter retrieval. This report suggests that even if small in size, proximal aneurysms may be treated if they are located on the course of the microcatheter before brain arteriovenous malformation embolization. Emergent intracranial surgical embolectomy in conjunction with carotid endarterectomy for acute internal carotid artery terminus embolic occlusion and tandem occlusion of the cervical carotid artery due to plaque rupture. A technical note by Hirotaka Hasegawa and colleagues. Acute internal carotid artery terminus occlusion is difficult to treat and is associated with extremely poor outcomes, especially when it's caused by atherosclerotic cervical plaque rupture. The authors describe a series of three cases involving patients with acute tandem occlusion of the cervical carotid artery and internal carotid artery terminus. The median presenting NIH stroke scale score was 22 points. After confirmation of DWI-MRA mismatch, all patients underwent urgent direct surgical revascularization, including craniotomy for surgical embolectomy of embolus at the terminus of the internal carotid artery, followed by cervical exposure, aspiration of a long residual proximal embolus ranging from the cervical carotid artery to the cavernous carotid artery, and removal of ruptured unstable plaque by carotid endarterectomy. Postoperative MRA demonstrated complete recanalization in all patients without additional infarction. The mean time from hospital arrival to recanalization was 234 minutes. And measured from the start of surgery, the mean time to recanalization was 151 minutes. There was no symptomatic hemorrhage, brain edema, or progression of infarction on serial postoperative CT and MRI. All patients demonstrated marked improvements in NIH stroke scale scores at 1 month. Neurosurgical decision making, personal and professional preferences, a clinical article by Omar Tanweer and co-authors. Physicians are often solicited by patients or colleagues for clinical recommendations they would make for themselves if faced by a clinical situation. The act of making a recommendation can alter the clinical course being taken. The authors conducted an online survey using the Congress of Neurological Surgeons listserv in May 2013. Respondents were randomized to answer either as the surgeon or as the patient. Questions encompassed an array of distinct neurosurgical scenarios. Data on practice parameters and experience levels were also collected. For both vestibular schwannoma and arteriovenous malformation management, more respondents chose resection for their patients, but radiosurgery for themselves. Aneurysm coiling was chosen more often than clipping. But those whose practice was at least 30% open cerebrovascular neurosurgery were less likely to choose coiling. Neurosurgeons more than 10 years out of residency were less likely to recommend surgery for the management of spinal pain, aneurysm, arteriovenous malformation, and trauma scenarios. For the management of vestibular schwannomas, arteriovenous malformations, intracranial aneurysms, and hypertensive hemorrhages, responses favored less invasive interventions when the surgeon was the patient. These findings are likely a result of cognitive biases, previous training, experience, areas of expertise, and personal values. A non-invasive estimation of cerebral perfusion pressure using critical closing pressure. A clinical article by Georgios Varsos and co-workers. Cerebral blood flow is associated with cerebral perfusion pressure, which is clinically monitored through arterial blood pressure and invasive measurements of intracranial pressure. Based on critical closing pressure, in this paper, the authors introduce a novel method for a non-invasive estimation of cerebral perfusion pressure. For this purpose, they retrospectively examined data from 280 patients with head injuries, with critical closing pressure calculated using the cerebrovascular impedance method. The non-invasive perfusion pressure was refined with a predictive regression model of critical closing pressure. Cohort analysis showed the new method to be highly correlated with measured perfusion pressure, with its main strength being its ability to accurately detect a low or inadequate perfusion pressure, which in turn could compromise cerebral blood flow if not detected. This could be beneficial in many clinical scenarios in which invasive measurements are not available or indicated, such as in patients with borderline indication based on Brain Trauma Foundation guidelines, in patients with coagulopathy in trauma or hepatic encephalopathy, and in polytrauma patients in an emergency, where a rapid assessment of the perfusion pressure status is required during treatment of other injuries. Impact of resident participation on morbidity and mortality in neurosurgical procedures. An analysis of 16,098 patients. A clinical article by Mohammed Biden and colleagues. Patients are often concerned about resident participation in the operating room for fear of increased morbidity or mortality. The purpose of this study was to examine the effect of resident participation on overall 30-day morbidity and mortality following neurosurgical procedures. The American College of Surgeons National Surgical Quality Improvement Program database was queried for the years 2006 through 2012. A total of 16,098 patients were identified. The most frequent indications for surgery were lumbar disc herniation, lumbar spinal stenosis, malignant brain tumor, and cervical spondylosis. Among the entire cohort, 49% were treated by an attending plus a resident, and 51% were treated by an attending alone. Patients treated by an attending plus a resident had a 20% complication rate, which was significantly higher than in patients treated by an attending alone, who had a complication rate of 12%. Moreover, mortality was significantly higher in the attending plus resident cohort. After multivariate analysis, however, it was found that resident participation did not contribute to this increased morbidity and mortality rate. Instead, the comorbidity burden of these patients was responsible for this observation. Findings in the present study suggest that resident participation is not an independent risk factor for 30-day morbidity or mortality following neurosurgical procedures. Thank you for listening. The Journal of Neurosurgery mobile app is available in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search for JNSPG to download the app for your mobile device today.